KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have partly cloudy skies, 68 degrees in Atlantic. We're looking for partly cloudy to cloudy skies today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 85. We're not expecting anything severe as far as the thunderstorms are concerned. Winds southeast at 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. A residential care facility in Pottawatomie County has 18 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Pott County Planning and Development Director Matt Wyant told KETV in Omaha the cases involved residents of the Oakland Manor. One resident has died from coronavirus complications. The first resident tested positive last Thursday while visiting the hospital for an unrelated issue. Wyant says the Oakland Manor acted quickly after learning about the first positive case and tested every resident. In a statement to the television station, Oakland Manor officials said Oakland Manor has been working closely with the local health department since the onset of this latest episode at our facility, and we appreciate the community's support and prayers. Our devoted staff, they said, are doing the best to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible during this global pandemic. Since the pandemic began, they've been following and will continue to follow the protocols for testing and infection control, as outlined by the CDC in the state of Iowa, and all other required policies and procedures. You may recall officials from Risen Sun Christian Village and Council Bluff said last week that 11 residents there are still battling the coronavirus. The state of Iowa's coronavirus information portal today shows that as of this morning, 216 new positive confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in the state for a total of 42,928, or a positivity rate of 6.7%. Officials say 31,195 persons have recovered from the virus. Three more people have died from complications due to COVID-19 for a total of 839. The number of Iowans tested for the virus is 461,362, and of those, 416,639 have tested negative. 246 are in a hospital across the state, 7 less than yesterday, for treatment of COVID-19. 76 are in an ICU. That's one more than Tuesday. 23 had been admitted to the hospital since Tuesday's reports, and 32 were on a ventilator. Here in southwest and western Iowa, the hospitals say there are 12 hospitalized with COVID-19. 8 are in an ICU. 2 were recently admitted, and now 2 are on a ventilator. That's up 1 from the past few days. Long-term care facility data showed 21 outbreaks, no change from yesterday. 673 staff and patients at those facilities have tested positive for COVID-19. 252 have recovered and 456 have died. In the dashboard data for Cass and surrounding counties, Cass County has 36 cases as of this morning with 31 recovered. Adair County, 20 cases, 16 recovered. Adams County and Audubon County, 13 cases and 25 cases respectively. Recovery data still not available. Guthrie County has 122 positive COVID-19 cases with 77 recovered. Montgomery County, 40 cases and 21 recovered. Pottawatomie County, 1,054 cases, 764 recovered. And Shelby County has 139 cases with 126 recovered. Republicans in the U.S. Senate are considering yet another incarnation of the CARES Act, in which Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says is designed to address continuing problems with public health crisis. Grassley, who chairs the Senate Finance Committee, says he was directly involved in several key elements of the coronavirus pandemic relief legislation.
That includes updated tax relief to help get folks back to work and help businesses safely open, updates in our approach to the unemployment benefits to provide another round of economic impact payments.
That part of the plan provides for another round of $1,200 payments for most Americans, with an additional $500 for each dependent. The measure would also lift restrictions on federal assistance that's already been sent to state and local governments, so it could be used to fill revenue shortfalls.
In other words, originally it was just supposed to be used to fight the virus, but if states have money left over, we'll give them flexibility on spending it.
Andy says the package contains a new credit for expenses like for personal protective equipment, or PPE, and cleaning, which is needed to maintain a safe workplace for employees and customers. Grassley, a Republican, says the proposal sets a responsible path forward to address the problems our country is facing due to COVID-19.
We put forth a bill. We got to negotiate with the House. I hope my Democrat colleagues will work with us in good faith. They better be open to compromise and keep the best interests of the American people in mind.
The package would help nursing home patients and workers, Grassley says, in addition to freezing Medicare premiums at 2020 levels to head off a predicted spike next year. In our funeral announcements, Dorothy Jean Swope, age 90, of Oakland, died Saturday at the Oakland Manor. Visitation with the family of Dorothy Swope will be today at 10 o'clock at the reconvened funeral home in Oakland, and then at 11:30, a procession will leave the funeral home for a graveside service at the Oaklawn Cemetery. Norman Iben, age 81, of Herndon, Virginia, and formerly of Audubon, died July 22nd. Funeral services for Norman Iben will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Janine Polberg, age 88, of Council Bluffs, died Monday. Visitation for Janine Polberg will be tomorrow from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Forest Lawn Funeral Home in Omaha. Turner Russell, age 23, of Atlantic, died Friday at his home. Funeral services for Turner Russell will be Friday at 10 o'clock at the Evangelical Free Church of Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service is in charge of the arrangements. Denver Junior Morey, age 94, of Shenandoah, died Monday in Shenandoah. Graveside services for Denver Morey will be Friday at 10 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Red Oak. Nelson Boylan, Lorette Funeral Chapel of Red Oak, has the arrangements. Richard Rhodes, age 73, of Lewis, died Sunday in Council Bluffs. A celebration of life gathering for Richard Rhodes will be this Friday at 3 o'clock at the Rhodes residence in Lewis at 510 Oregon Street. Hockenberry Family Care is assisting the family. Joel Widener, age 63, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Caring Acres in Oneida. Graveside services for Joel Widener will be held Friday at 3:30 at the Brighton Township Cemetery in Marnie. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Patricia Bullock Gibble, age 50, of Lindenhurst, Illinois, died July 14th. Prayer and memorial services for Patricia Bullock Gibble will be Saturday at 11:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Natalie Wheatley Merritt, age 53, of Missouri, and formerly of Atlantic, died April 17th. A celebration of life for Natalie Merritt will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. The family requests masks be worn, social distancing will be followed. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Karen Reesberg, age 76, of Griswold, died Monday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Private family graveside services will be held for Karen Reesberg at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Betty Falken, age 81, of Irwin, died Friday at the Hanson House. Services for Betty Falken are pending for a later date. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Willard Bintz, age 87, of Hancock, died Monday in Council Bluffs. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned at this time for Willard Bintz. A celebration of life memorial service will be held at a later date. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.